Until mankind is peaceful enough not to have violence on the news, there's no point in taking it out of movies and shows, like this episode of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Thunder Road 3 now online. How can I help you travel through movie space-time today? Course entered. Clueless, 1995. Is this correct? Course set. Rewinding in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, Rewinders and new listeners, to the Retro Rewind podcast, where we take a fresh look at movies and games from 15 or more years ago. I'm your captain of the soon-to-be new pod, Francisco Ruiz, and joined by your XO and mine, Paul, the PaulJPowers.com Powers. Hey, Paul.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? Things are good. Glad you're here. Also, good. For this discussion, I'm
because I'll tell you what, if anything happens, I got a 45 and a shovel, and I doubt anyone would miss you. Oh, sorry. I thought you were somebody else. Never mind.
That's the Paul J. Powers I know and love. Okay, also for this discussion of the film Clueless, we welcome back aboard administration officer of the pod, the former pod, the new pod, Ashley Ruiz. Hey, Ashley.
Hello. That was a stop sign. I mean, hi, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
I've totally paused.
Oh, my gosh. Now that you have a quick flyby of who we are, Paul, can you give us a quick overview of the production specs for Clueless? Not the TV series, the movie.
Oh, hold on. The movie, right?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Emma was released June 7th, 1996, rated PG, runs 2 hours exactly. It was directed by Douglas McGrath and written by Jane Austen and Douglas McGrath.
Paul.
And the lead stars being Gwyneth Paltrow, James Cosby.
Paul!
What?
Wrong iteration.
What? You said, this is the Emma movie from the 90s, the updated version.
Hath
right?
I speaketh the word Emma, or did I speaketh Clueless?
Oh, but it's Emma retold. It's update. Oh, well, you know what?
That could have been brought to my attention yesterday.
I seethe with anger.
Don't burst a blood vessel.
Okay. Third time's a charm, right? Well, we'll see. Clueless was released July 19th, 1995. Runs an hour and 37
Thank
for the
you.
Movie. Right?
This is the one. Yes.
Okay.
Good.
It's rated PG-13. It was directed and written by Amy Heckerling. And with lead stars being Alicia Silverstone, Stacey Dash, Brittany Murphy, Paul Rudd, and so on. Music was composed by David Kitay. I don't know how to pronounce your name, David. All right. Anyway, ready for the box office trivia?
I'm ready. Ashley, are you ready?
Yeah.
And anyone in chat, you're welcome to join as well. Yoshi or Ken, or anyone watching on Ken's stream. Go for it, Paul.
All right. All right. Clueless was made for about $12 million and earned around $57 million at the box office.
Respectable.
Very much so. Given this fact, how high in the box office do you think it ranks among the movies released theatrically in 1995? And we'll go for the top 50.
Top 50. Okay. Ashley, what is your guess?
37.
Ken guesses 24 in chat. I'm just curious, Ashley. You said 37, but this was your reflux capacitor supporter pick. So wouldn't you think this was a lot higher?
A lot of good movies came out in 1995.
All right, that's fair.
And this movie came out during the summer. It wasn't necessarily a blockbuster. It was kind of a sleeper. Mm. It has a very big following, but usually people are just very nostalgic about it, but it doesn't mean that everyone and their sister saw it when
That's
it came out.
Very fair. All right. I'm gonna give it more of the benefit of the doubt and say it was number 13.
All right.
So, Paul, where did it actually end up?
Well, according to the-numbers.com, it came in at 46.
Dang it!
See?
Fine. Good I guess job. Ashley won that one.
Just pick your age. You can't go wrong.
All right. Well, thank you for those. Almost did the Bobby. Yeah. Oh, to do the 42, Ken. Yeah. You should have gotten
Yeah,
that.
You would have won.
Yep.
I don't know why Bobo gave that up. It seems like he would have won so many times since then.
Yeah.
So my mom always had this thing where she would say to my dad, if he wants, or me or my brothers, that if we ever want to play the lotto, you always pick the same numbers, and you do that every single time, and you increase your average of getting it. But I don't think we ever did that. Anyway,
good.
thank you for those factoids. Well, and let's see if any of them factor into our memory mind mold or subsequent roundtable discussion, which we'll get into once Travis has located our target film.
Alert! Alert! Target located. Spoilers incoming. Establishing analysis factor.
Paramount Pictures presents.
Nice stems.
Thanks.
Alicia Silverstone.
He does dress better than I do. What would I bring to the relationship?
Clueless.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Rated PG-13. Starts Wednesday, July 19th.
July 19th. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that really brings back some memories about that.
The Dark Crystal.
TV spot for Clueless. But what do we, me, Paul, and Ashley, collectively remember about this 1995 film? Let's find out in our memory mind meld synopsis of Clueless. In this blast from the past, Batgirl is living in Los Angeles, masquerading as a teenage girl with a shopping addiction and a dead mom. Her days are filled with friends and fashion and pretending to try at school. The Aerosmith girl and her friends try setting up two of their teachers, Vizzini and Miss Geist, to get them to forget about the legitimacy of student grades. Watch out, Phoebe Buffay. Because after many misadventures, Batgirl decides Ant-Man is the man for her, even though, because he's in France, even though he is her stepbrother, and publicly becomes a couple at the Vicini's wedding. Inconceivable! Not falling victim to one of the classic blunders. Oh my gosh. I mean, sure, there was some of the stuff that was in there that was from this movie, but some of it was deceptive.
Alas, no crime fighting in this movie.
Exactly. And no Aerosmith. I don't know what's going on. But based on those...
Phoebe Buffay is definitely not in this movie.
No.
Sorry.
Based on those memories, as flawed as they may have been, what range did they lead you to predict for the movie Clueless before you rewatched it? Classic, nostalgic, or tragic? Let's start with our guest, Ashley. What was your prediction?
Classic.
What? No, I figured given that you picked this movie for
us. Yes, I did pick this movie, and I saw it for the very first time in the summer of 1995.
Oh, wow.
A PG-13 movie for an 8-year-old may not have been the best idea, but I will say most of the humor went over my head.
Okay.
So I missed out on a lot of innuendo and inappropriate references. So when I finally was above 13 watching the movie, it made a lot more sense, and I scolded my mother for bringing me, but I have nothing but the fondest memories of this movie.
Ah, okay.
Oops, my bad.
That's what your mom said. Paul, what was your prediction?
Before I rewatched it recently, I hadn't seen this probably around shortly after the time came out, but when it did, I remember enjoying it. So I predicted nostalgic.
Okay. And for me, I have seen this before, but it was never a movie that I'm like, oh, yeah, let me watch Clueless again. So I predicted tragic for me. But it'll be interesting
You enjoyed a movie, so you predicted tragic. Interesting, Francisco.
Yeah, just you're because it's not your usual type.
No, but I said it was... Did I say I enjoyed it?
I thought you said you enjoyed it, but you haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really looking forward to... I don't remember saying I enjoyed it. Let me reverse the tape and find out. But
and for me, I have seen this before, but it was never a movie that I'm like, oh yeah, let me watch Clueless again. So I predicted tragic for me. But it'll be interesting to see.
That could be wrong.
I thought it was fine, but I
okay.
I may have liked it at the time, but it wasn't one where I want to go out and see it again. Anyway!
Oh, okay. Thank
that makes more sense.
Okay.
Because I'm sorry, you're just building up this reputation. If people have listened to previous episodes, there's this reputation of you not liking movies for some reason.
I like movies just fine. I liked the last movie we covered.
And that was the last movie we covered.
To never cover a movie again. All right. Right. Ken predicted tragic to think a classic is tragic, though I don't recall ever seeing. Wow. Wow, Ken. I thought you were on my side there for a second, but whatever. It'll be interesting to see if those predictions pan out. But first, let's get into things we liked most about Clueless. Let's spin up our
best bits.
I'm glad you're on your side, Ken. All right. Let's start with Ashley. What's one thing you liked about Clueless?
I absolutely adored the costumes.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I just thought, fashion. Yes, the fashion of Clueless, the costumes of Clueless. I just thought the set designer did such the fashion.
Costume
designer. The costume designer did such a good job of handpicking an ensemble for all of the characters. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was perfectly representative of their own personal style while being perfectly representative of the different fashion trends that were going on in the 90s. Mm-hmm. There definitely was like a fashion forward time with people like in the upper classes, like Sharon or friends dressing that way. But then there were other kids at her school that were dressing more of the stereotypical style at the time. When you look at Ty, when you are first introduced to Ty during gym class, she's very dressed as in the grunge style. There's other people at her school that are wearing the stereotypical like baggy jeans and the boxer shorts and the baggy tees and the backward cap. And there's even dialogue about it. It definitely, and then you see her father and how he's always wearing suits because he's a high power lawyer. And I just felt like the fashion was perfect to each individual character.
Yeah. What's funny about that is I was expecting to see the scene where she points out each sort of clique. But I think that might be a Mean Girls thing.
That is very much a Mean Girls thing. Okay. She does introduce Ty. But it's not the same because it's not at the cafeteria.
Because they
have an outdoor cafeteria and they have all these different areas on the campus where all the individual groups sit.
Yeah.
And she does do a breakdown and she says the Lodies generally, so the people that are doing drugs, they hang out on the grassy knoll over there. And this is Alana's crew. They run the TV show. They run the TV station. They think that's the most important thing. That's Elton and his crew. There's
Again,
the Persian
did you watch
mafia.
This movie, Francisco?
I did. I just was expecting different like clique names for some reason. I was thinking of Mean Girls though, and so
you
that's
were thinking
why
the plastics.
You
would
probably
be
you
all
probably
this.
Were. Yes, exactly. And it's like, oh, there's Regina George. Oop, wrong movie. But no, does happen, and you are introduced to all the different like subgroups of their school. But there's probably even more than that because you're introduced to a very small number of groups.
I will say
only the ones relevant to Cher.
I will say I think Mean Girls cribbed a lot from this movie, so
I just know they didn't cover this one time at band camp. They just totally skipped the band members.
I was gonna say, didn't that movie come out in like 1998 1999?
Are you talking about American Pie or Mean Girls? I'm not sure.
I've seen both those movies.
Well, I don't know which one we're talking about. Let's get back to Clueless. That's a much better segue. Paul, why don't you elucidate me about something you liked about this film?
It's funny because and I don't mean to, that's not a, anyway, I enjoyed the humor.
Okay.
And this movie has a wide variety of humor.
It does. I mean, it's very broad. Yeah.
All the way from slapstick comedy with like the Fall Downs to like very general broad. And then you have like some really like heady things you have to think about and connect the dots. And basically I would surmise that if, There is some type of humor for almost everybody in here at one point or another. Mm-hmm. So that I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I'd say similar to that. I feel like there's almost like a, if there's a type of story you enjoy, you can find an element of that in this movie. Like for me, I really enjoyed the Wallace Shawn character and his romance with Miss Geist. I liked how that sort of budded, even though it was sort of fabricated at the start. I don't know. They, Sharon, Dion. And Dion were like matchmakers.
Yeah. Without old people can be so sweet.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, that's just so nice seeing them, get together and then get married at the end. I thought that was really, I really liked that element of it. And you can find lots of different things, some teen humor, some more adult things, some parenting, stories. There's a lot in there. So that's something I liked. Let's go back to Ashley.
Man, picking another thing that I like about this movie.
Yes.
It was really hard to call these things down.
Okay, well, we can skip you and go.
No. I have a whole list. Believe me. So I know I talked about how I really enjoyed the costumes and how they like perfectly captured the essence mm-hmm. of each individual character mm-hmm. while being true to the fashion of the 90s, all the different trends that were going on circa 1995. Mm-hmm. I also felt like this movie is a perfect time capsule of mm-hmm. 90s culture.
Yeah.
Because it is just so representative of so many things going on. I really feel like it did capture the zeitgeist of that very narrow period of time. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. just
in the U.S. at least.
At least in Beverly Hills in the United States. Yeah. And even my 8-year-old self was like, oh, I know that. And just seeing like the flip phones that everyone was carrying yes. and how they looked like the cell phone that my dad had in that time. And all the cars looked like they belonged in the 1990s and the trends and the technology. It was like, it could appeal to me because a lot of it was what I experienced too, albeit in the northeastern United States, not in Beverly Hills and not in high school, but I feel like it definitely was representative of the time and they did a really good job.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Paul, yeah. did you feel the same or was there something else, some element of this being in the 90s that you liked?
I'll tell you what, this is like a time capsule. It was fun to revisit this and, mm-hmm. and it kind of takes you back for those of us that lived during that time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like however you rate it, there is a nostalgic factor in this movie that's mm-hmm. really that mm-hmm. I enjoyed. So I agree with Ashley in that.
Yeah, I think
but one of the.
I was just going to say real quick. I think I just started going to high school when this movie came out. So that was just interesting. I don't think I saw it then, but I wonder if I would have appreciated more if I had seen
it. I was in elementary school.
Thanks.
But rewatching it now, does it take you back to that time period in your head?
For me,
no?
It does. Mm-hmm. For me, it certainly does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
It does for you too.
Cool.
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, my next, like, this was almost my classic maker.
Oh, wow.
I love the father-daughter relationship in
that
this movie.
That is really good, yes.
It is so well portrayed here. It's one of my favorites ever portrayed in cinema. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because there's a surprise element, because the dad comes across as this gruff, mean, like, yeah. even the maid is scared
yeah.
of him.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
And they do that kind of a little over the top, but he, you can tell how much he loves his daughter, no matter how much he's griping
yeah.
And screaming and complaining. And she just like thinks nothing of his bad attitude and mm. they're just there for each other. And it's yeah. very heartwarming yeah. and I love mm. it.
Yeah. I especially love that moment where she's pacing and he's like, "Should I get in here? And what's going on?" And then you have a problem. Oh, let's figure out this problem. I just mm-hmm. and why you help me highlight these things. Yeah, it's just really so yeah. such a he had such a good heart for her, which was
yeah.
which was such a fun juxtaposition to him with everyone else just yelling at people. I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just seeing like all the lessons that he's instilled in her through his mm-hmm. like profession, being like. Mm-hmm. "It's not ready yet. What do you mean it's not ready yet?" And she's just saying like, "Well, some teachers are trying to lowball me, Daddy. And you always say never accept a first offer." And then he's saying something along the lines like, "Honey, I couldn't be happier than if they were based off your grades." So he's proud of her for
yeah,
taking right. those values that have been instilled and that he's kind of exemplified mm-hmm. and just being like, but yeah, there's just so many sweet scenes between yeah. the two of them and how yeah. towards the end he's like, "I haven't seen such do-gooding since your mother."
Yes.
So he's just reinforcing yeah. like you're so much like your mother, but you're like me. You're like the perfect mm-hmm. blend of both of us. And
yeah.
they do have a sweet, sweet relationship,
yeah.
even though he is a little gruff.
A yeah. little.
Yeah.
Something, and that kind of goes into my next like, which is I love the moment where Cher sort of I think she sort of takes a step back and us with her as an audience and thus sort of surveys everyone and how everyone has different talents and is good at different things, has different giftings. I just appreciate that she was like, we got this perspective that, yeah, everyone has something to offer. Mm-hmm. And I'm appreciating that more and more as I see in whenever I see in movies. Mm-hmm. That's something I don't think I ever thought much about growing up or even into my adult years. But these days, in my wizened old age, I'm enjoying that more and more, appreciating that more and more. So that is something I liked. But now it's time to get into our classic makers, the things we liked most about Clueless. Ashley, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, absolutely.
Don't play the sound. Don't play the sound, Paul.
That one?
Nice. Nice.
Oops, my bad.
That's good stuff. But Paul already alluded to this earlier, saying like there is humor and that there was something in it for everybody. So for me, just the quotability of this movie mm-hmm. is my absolute classic maker. It has to be. And I actually wrote down a couple, one of my favorites, and it's just so deadpan delivered. And it is the quote that is, searching for a boy in high school is as useless as searching for meaning in a Pauly Shore movie. Yes. And that particular quote, just, even as an 8-year-old, I knew who Pauly Shore was.
Oh,
and,
wow, okay.
And it was just so ridiculous. And yeah, the 45 and the shovel. Did yeah. you think the death of Sammy Davis Jr. left an opening in the Rat Pack? There's just, honestly, I think Cher's dad has some of the best dialogue yes. in the entire movie.
Yeah, I really like
although
this.
There's also some really good things in here. It's just, do you like Billie Holiday? I love him. Doesn't he look yeah. better? His head does.
I don't get that joke.
What? Billie Holiday
yeah.
is Billie, a female.
Yeah, is a female. So that's
oh,
why.
Oh, really? Okay, I see.
Yeah.
That's why she says, I love him. It's like,
oh, yeah, okay. I love him. And it's supposed to be funny. And it's just, even Josh has some really good quotes. He's like, I so need lessons from you on how to be cool. So there is just so many good quotes in this yeah. movie. And I can't tell you how many times even I could get my brother to watch Clueless and we would be like, I got a 45 and a shovel. I doubt anyone would miss you.
Oh, my goodness.
But there's just so, so many things to quote from this movie. And it's still just as timeless and funny to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Paul, I'm... So if I were a betting man, I would bet yeah. that's your classic maker as well. But if not, what is your classic maker?
No, that was my number three. My number one is actually my number three was the humor.
Oh, I meant the quotability. But okay.
Oh, the quotability. No, yeah. my number one is the cast, especially Lisa Silverstone.
Sure,
she just nails this role. I mean, she is sweet, but all. She really shines, and she is the star of this, and yeah. and I think she knocks it out of the park. And the other people there really support her in this.
Yeah.
So it makes it a fun movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
based on that, I don't know if you ever watched the TV show. I know Ashley did because we talked about that a little bit.
I did.
Would no. if Alicia Silverstone was in the TV show? Do you think you might have been more interested in watching it?
I'd be interested in watching it now. I don't remember about then.
Oh, but, okay. That's fair.
But I would, if she, I know like Dee and her boyfriend are in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, if she was in it, I'd be curious of watching it. If she was yeah, in it.
She definitely does not make any appearances on that show. That's so sad. I will say of the original cast, and we're talking like main cast,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Paul Rudd does show up in one episode. He plays a one-time character. That's not Josh.
Oh,
and
okay. What?
Brittany Murphy shows up in one episode as well and plays another character that's not Ty. But Alicia Donovan, who plays Amber, is totally in the series. Stacey yeah. Dash, who plays Dion. Donald Faison, who plays Murray, he's in there. And they give Murray a best friend who is only in one scene, the guy that shaves his head. That they call, oh, I want to okay. say they say his name is like Patrick or something in the movie, but mm-hmm. they actually name the character after the actor in the series. He has the same name as the actor in the series as the actor does in real life. And he's actually a really fun cast member to watch in
That's
the series.
Cool.
He's just really nice. But the people that they get to play, Cher's father and Josh, they're just not as memorable as Paul Rudd or Dan Hedaya.
Yeah.
Dan Hedaya is just such a perfect Mel.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
just, but you're absolutely right about Alicia Silverstone. She just shines, and just the chemistry she has with the whole ensemble cast mm-hmm. between the believability of Paul Rudd as her former stepbrother and Dan Hedaya as her dad. And like, you believe that all these people that she's friendly with, that she could be friends with them in real life.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That.
Speaking of reprising roles, did you see Alicia Silverstone in the Super Bowl commercial last year? How she reprised her role, her Clueless role in the
really?
Commercial last
no,
year.
No, I didn't yeah. see that.
So Google that.
Yeah.
Watch
I need,
okay.
I need to. I need to see that. All I know is when there was like celebrity lip sync, she totally did like the Iggy Azalea song Fancy, and she like wore her like signature yellow plaid outfit. So that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny because the music video is based
off
of
absolutely. I have seen that, and that is how you say something.
I'm sort of clueless as to what you guys are talking about now.
You're totally
but
clueless.
Something I'm not clueless about is my classic maker. And that's actually, it's one of the cast members. And I don't know why I enjoyed this character so much, but Travis, played by Brecken Meyer, the skateboarding dude.
I was about to say,
you love a good redemption story.
Yeah, he. I love that he gets off drugs and is like, oh, I'm going to do better. And he's a skateboarder. And I like how he still pursues Ty, even though she's rebuffing him. And at last, they seem to get together. And I don't know. I just liked his whole arc.
Charming.
And his,
he's very
his
charming.
Sub-story. Yeah, he is.
I'm like, even before he goes into the program, he's got this charm about him.
Yeah, yeah.
And how he gives that goofy speech about being tardy to school.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, thank you to the LA City bus driver for taking a chance on an unknown kid and the wonderful crew at McDonald's and taking all those time making those Egg McMuffins and my parents for never giving me a ride to school. Oh, and it's just goodness. Like everybody is like clapping, and then he makes that random comparison about how his kids will feel about Nine Inch Nails. So I guess I should stop torturing my parents or something
like
that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But anyway, that was my classic maker. As much as there were some things to like about Clueless, there's probably some things – sorry. We're about to get into our dislikes, but I just remembered. You're right, Ken. I forgot there's something else I liked.
Here we go again.
I know. It's
my bad.
Can you believe it?
Yep.
That would be Geek Devotions. Geek Devotions is a collaboration of devoted geeks that are devoted to letting people know that they are loved. They produce a weekly geek culture-infused devotional, their podcast, Com Talk, and written articles all designed to encourage and challenge people in the geek community, bridging the gap between their faith and their geekdom. Find all their content at geekdevotions.com.
That's great, Francisco. But what does Geek Devotions have to do with Clueless?
Oh, well,
unless you're calling them Clueless.
No, not at all. So,
okay, good.
So you know how Alicia Silverstone is Batgirl in the Batman and Robin movie?
Okay.
Do you recall that? Well, that whole sequence of movies, Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, is one of Dallas Mora, who's part of Geek Devotions, his favorite sort of Batman movie universe. So he really likes Alicia Silverstone, and she's in Clueless, so it's a like for me. Geek Devotions. You're not buying what I'm selling?
You're a snob and a half.
What? Is that from this movie?
Yes.
Dang it! Well, how about some trivia about Clueless? How about that, Paul?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, good. Did you all realize that the part of Mr. Hall was based, and that was Vicini, Wallace Shawn's character, I believe.
Rex from Toy Story.
Yes. So the part of Mr. Hall was based on Beverly Hills High debate teacher Herb Hall, a friend of director Amy Heckerling.
Mm.
As a favor, Herb Hall was given the part of the school principal, which I think you just see him in the background. I don't remember him having much of a speaking role.
Yeah, no.
But my question to you all is, if you could be a teacher at any high school, real or fictional, what school would it be and what would you teach? So let's start with Paul.
Well, the school I would love to teach at is, of course, Xavier's school.
Oh, that's so good.
And then what would I teach? It would be fun to teach theology or art, yeah. But that can be a little... I would do something that is a little more easy for me is math. And I know that's hard for some people, but I think I could rest there. So I'd teach math at Xavier's School of
Teach
the
Math. That's fair. Yeah. I think.
One of the reasons why I didn't become a teacher is because, I don't know, disciplining these kids these days, how they get away with so much and how you cannot discipline in the classroom. I can't imagine trying to discipline gifted kids.
Right? That would be pretty tricky. I will say that.
Yeah.
All right. Ashley, how about you?
Oh man, this I was pretty torn about this, but it depends on a couple of circumstances. I have two answers that are in the same universe, but set of circumstances. Okay, so if Mr. Feeney is still alive and he's the principal of John Adams High School in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I want to be a Spanish teacher at that school, and I want him to be my principal. But however, if in-universe he is—
I thought he was a teacher. He's a principal?
No. He becomes the principal. He starts as a teacher, and he becomes the principal.
Gotcha, okay.
So had he not retired, I would want to be there. But if he is retired and I'm in another universe, I want to work at John Quincy Adams Middle School, which is where Corey Matthews is a history teacher in New York City, and I will teach Spanish there. So,
is that in Girl Meets World?
Yes, it's in Girl Meets World. So, yes, I want to be a teacher in the Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World
universe,
and I probably could be a teacher. I did go to school to be a teacher. I student taught. I don't know that I would want to be a teacher in this day and age, but in that particular universe, I would be a teacher.
That's
awesome. I student taught. I did all the things, but it's not in the cards for me. But in that hypothetical reality, yes, I would be a teacher.
Very nice.
Teaching Spanish.
Then in chat, Ken pipes in. He says he'd be a college history professor at an Ivy League school near campus living and the fall New England season. Oh, that'd be nice. With a pipe and a jacket with elbow patches. Very, very on.
He could be friends with Mr. Feeney.
Yes, he could. Exactly. Very, very cool.
And what about you, Captain?
Well, I mean, you sort of hit out of the park with that X-Men School of the Gifted. I guess I'll say this. I'll be a teacher of game theory at Starfleet Academy. That's where I'll teach.
Oh.
Not because I have credentialed or anything, but because that sounds like it'd be fun.
It's part of popular culture. Why not?
But I don't have any, like, I'm not like a game theory expert or anything, so who am I to teach that? But if we're just...
You could be an adjunct professor. It'd be fine.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. What were you going to say, Paul?
I was about to say, what did you think about the Kobe Murashi, what's it called?
Kobayashi Maru?
Yeah, that's it. As a game theorist.
I think I don't like that because... If you're,
it's a cheat code. If, none of your
Konami
cheat codes.
if it's a game that you can't, that is unwinnable, then it should be called something else, maybe an exercise, not so much a game. I don't know. But see, I think game theory is something completely different from how I think of it. So that's why, I'm not an expert.
All right. Mm. We can take this conversation offline.
Indeed, we can.
All right. But great trivia, Francisco.
Thank you, Paul.
And now that we've all had some trivial fun, let's find out what memories you, our awesome rewinders, had about Clueless.
Oh, real quick. Sean also said he'd be a history and literature professor. Very cool. So
yeah, but where?
Oh, that's a good point. He didn't say. Anyway, so Who Will Save Generation X podcast starts by saying, Clueless is so fetch. Is fetch a mean girl's thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Great. Stop trying to make fetch happen. There you go.
Thank you.
Aaron Wallace says,
SF.
Wow. Aaron Wallace sounds so much like Alicia Silverstone. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Kristen Rich Victor left a gif of Cher and the Asian girl, I don't know her name, doing handshake hair toss.
Janet Hong. And,
thank you. Yes, her.
Yeah, her too. And David Bopke says, I'm clueless about Clueless. I wonder what you guys wish you were still clueless about in regards to Clueless.
Oh, you know what? I think Bobbo kicks us right over into the next segment, our dislike section.
Worst Wuss.
Wow, Paul. All right, Paul, what makes you Wilhelm scream about Clueless?
You know what? And I might get a little guff for this, but I was a little disappointed in the music, okay? This had a great opportunity to portray some, what I would call, better music. Like, it starts off with, The Kids in America, which is a great song, but it's by this unknown band that it's kind of, like, not the best version.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this, like, ska band in the middle, and
it's Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Is it the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
It is the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones,
but it's not, like, one of their better songs. No, it's not one of their best songs.
It's not.
And so a lot of this movie has a lot of songs playing in the back, like, rolling with the homies, like, not very many people know that. Like, yeah. There's so many opportunities to get
for
some
better
really
90s
songs.
Yeah.
In here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, even.
Oh my god!
A little bit of music.
You perfect. Got me, Paul. Man, I was not expecting that.
I was. It was the perfect setup.
But seriously, I was disappointed in the lack of better music because this movie would have been such a great launching point for that.
Yeah. Where's my Beach Boys? Surfing USA. East
That's
side,
right.
Outside.
Even that would have been fun.
It would.
I mean, look at what they did with Flight of the Navigator.
Exactly.
Made it better.
Exactly. And Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Anyway, those movies aside, let's continue on with our dislikes. Ashley, what's something you didn't like about this film?
I mean, I could definitely agree with Paul that there was some music used in this film that I definitely didn't like. The scene with the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, it just felt like they were trying to launch their career, make them bigger than they actually were. But
Well, that dancing guy is going places.
But he was just dancing on stage. It's not like he was singing backup or doing anything. Ugh, that just felt unnecessary.
Yeah.
Speaking of unnecessary things, all of the sexual references that the girls make about their womanhood and purity and basically belittling one because they haven't gone down that path as the others, that watching it now is just like, thank goodness that went over my head as a kid, because my goodness, 15/16 year olds really have no place talking about it as much as they did.
Yeah.
And honestly, like the fact that that was one of the most brutal line deliveries in the entire movie, when Ty tells Cher that she's a virgin who can't drive. And it's just like, you're going to lead with that. It's like, you could call her pretty much anything else that you want to. She's shallow. She's superficial. She's an elitist. But really, that's what you have to lead with. She could be any type of person who doesn't drive. But that's where you have to go. And that just feels like, okay, it's a PG-13 movie. Yeah, I get it. They're teenagers. They live in Beverly Hills. There's going to be things. But just the fact that all those conversations were just between the trio of girls, it just felt unnecessary.
I mean, I obviously didn't grow up as a woman. So I'm curious, is that something that's true to life though?
It could be in some circles, but I can say based on my experience, that wasn't my experience.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's not just, but experiences aren't universal.
Yeah.
So there is that, but it's just like, okay, like Cher for the majority of this movie is like 15 years old. She's like,
wait, I thought she was 16.
She turns 16 in this movie. But don't you remember the part where she's talking to Ty and she goes, I'll be 16 in May.
Parts
of this movie, they are 15 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
They're 15/16. They are sophomores in high school.
Yeah. What's funny about Brittany Murphy delivering that line when she said that, like, she's like, you're a virgin who can't drive. Mm-hmm. She actually was in real life a virgin who couldn't drive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't have her license.
Yeah. That's but funny. It was just like, okay. Okay, girls. That's one of the most intimate conversations you could have, but you just bring it up all the time unnecessarily. But I'm sure it's true to life in some way, shape, or form. But honestly, it's PG-13. It just felt like there were way more references than needed to be. Maybe if it's like one conversation, but it's something that they kept going back to.
Gotcha. Yes, Ken, it was adults playing teens, but that doesn't mean they need to
act
like adults.
The vast majority of them were actually teenagers playing teenagers, minus Stacey Dash, who was like 28 playing 15, 16.
Right.
But Alicia Silverstone was like 17, 18 years old. So she was still technically a teenager. Brittany Murphy was a teenager.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd, no, he was like 26.
Well, speaking of Paul Rudd, this gets into my first dislike. I don't understand why they were trying to use de-aging technology as such an early state of technology. Paul Rudd ended up looking really weird and,
you know,
so
I'm glad
strange.
You brought that
I'm not
up,
sure
I was
why
wondering
they were
why he quit 31 Flavors to work at his ex-dad's house.
So I'm being tongue-in-cheek. I think Paul's referencing Ant-Man, but I don't know what you mean by ex-dad's house. But
well, in this movie,
his former stepfather.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm connecting the dots now.
Not, yeah.
But it It's sort of silly, but Paul Rudd just looks so weird young. He looks so much.
What do you mean he looks weird young?
He just looks weird. He looks
Oh, you're just not used to him looking that.
I guess not.
You see too many memes of Paul Rudd next to himself saying he doesn't age. What's going on here?
Maybe that's
it. Maybe he's a vampire. But and then when you actually see what he looks like younger, you're like, ew, what happened?
He looks good now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it was. But
no offense to Paul Rudd.
Well, Paul, if you ever see this, just know that you would look awesome right now. So keep it up.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's just jarring. I think the experience of seeing a young Paul Rudd is just jarring. So you're just like, I don't know how to take this.
I mean, I guess.
It's off-putting?
It wasn't off-putting, but it was like, it's almost like I wasn't looking at Paul Rudd, but it was just weird that way. It's much like Uncanny Rudd Valley.
You're almost more comfortable with.
Yes, I guess so. So that's something I didn't like.
No, shallow. Paul Rudd. I like it on my screen.
Poor Paul Rudd. What did he ever do to you?
I don't know. What did this movie ever do to you that you didn't like it, Ashley?
Okay. I mean, if you're going to be digging on Paul Rudd and Josh and, well, just how he appears on screen, something that I really didn't like in this movie is I didn't like how quickly they transitioned Cher and Josh from being, like, step-siblings, like, bickering with each other to being a couple. And it just felt, like, so weird. Like, I know.
Russian weird, yeah.
Like,
it's forced.
It is forced. And, I mean, they're trying to, like, get to that logical conclusion because in the original adaptation of Emma, she falls in love with her brother-in-law. So,
Why are we talking about Emma again?
No, because they're trying to make a connection because
this
they're
is
trying. It's a remake
of a Jane Austen, novel.
Emma.
What?
Yes.
Emma.
This is based on a Jane Austen book.
Yes. It is a 90s It's
That's
a 90s.
Why I went and watched Emma from 1996.
Yes. So this is one of the most modern remakes of Emma, and it does a lot of points really good. But I feel like when they try to adapt the Emma relationship with a character that she quote unquote ends up with in the book, it just ends up being weird because instead of using in the book, Emma has a sister and the sister is married to this gentleman and his brother is hanging out around the house a lot, but he's an older fellow and he's hanging out, but he's there because he's kind of indirectly related to her because he's a brother-in-law and she ends up with him.
Gotcha.
But the fact that they were step siblings at one point, like his mother was married to her father and her father still very much treats Josh as if he's his son because he even says so. You divorce wives, not children.
But he's not blood related.
No, they're
to
not blood. They're not blood
all,
related yeah. at all. But it's still kind of it still puts an icky feeling in my mouth thinking of the two of them. And having been a stepdaughter and having had step siblings and being a stepmother myself. Anytime you insert step, it doesn't matter if there's no blood relation. It just becomes a little creepy.
Yeah.
And
add to that, Uncanny Valley Paul Rudd. It's just all sorts of creepy.
Uncanny Valley Paul Rudd aside, it just feels very forced.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I like the sibling dynamic that they have. It's really sweet and cute. Yeah. Like, no one's as adorable as you. I so need lessons on how to be cool. I like how they tease and taunt each other. It's really sweet. But then when they get to the end and he's kind of saying, like, he's talking about how other people care about him and how Mel is the only person that cares. And she's like, no. And then when he talks to her about what he likes about her, two of the three things that he says are about her appearance. He says, you know, he says you're beautiful. And then he's like, you know, you're gorgeous. And it's like, okay, you think your former stepsister is hot. That's awesome. But not only are you older than her, you kind of still act like your siblings. So that just makes it weird.
Yeah. No, I get that. I totally get that. Let's see. Let's go to Paul next. What was weird about this movie for you in a bad way?
So what I didn't, and this might be just a personality thing, but I didn't get why Dion D and Murray, her boyfriend, were together when they just seemed to like always annoy each other. It annoyed me. And I'm like, why do you put up with each other? This is annoying. Like, each of them could do better in their own circles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because their relationship.
And not that there's anything wrong with each one of them. I just thought it was kind of like a lot of clashing going on.
Yeah. They definitely brought on drama when the two were put together. It's like putting together like lighter fluid and a match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch what happens. Independently, they're fine because they're not starting a fire, but put them together and kaboom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it annoyed me a lot of the time. I mean, they had some funny moments, but overall it was like, what's going on?
Yeah, that was hard. No, I get that. Something that was challenging for me to watch. Well, not challenging. It was just very eye-rolly to the point where I judged on something I didn't like was... And this is, I mean, this is a very 90s thing to do. I think Fern Gully is very much a contemporary of this movie. And it's like all the environmental activism talk and social justice stuff.
Oh, like Save the Whales.
Yeah.
Save the Whales, Save the Planet.
The Pismo Beach disaster.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Disaster relief in California. They really need your skis.
Whatever.
Exactly. That's how I felt about it. So it's just a very eye-rolly. But I get that.
Not only, folks, if you're paying attention, Francisco hates movies and hates the environment.
Yeah, I know. I don't hate the environment, Paul.
You hate activism.
I hate
exaggerated, quote unquote activism, just doing something for the sake of doing it without having any actual outcome.
I mean, though Cher does do something. She's collecting supplies and stuff. So that's very honorable. I don't like that this movie is trying to push that, I guess, on me. That's the sense I got.
You know what's weird is I didn't get that.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like you have a guilt complex. Like maybe you should be doing more and you feel guilty watching stuff like this.
You know what? I'll examine that at another time.
But that totally was like what was happening during the 90s. Think of the Clean Air Act came out during that time frame.
Mm-hmm. And we also had things like the ExxonMobil spill.
Yeah.
We had a lot of environmental things happen as well.
We also had Captain Planet. So there was a lot of different activism going on. Mm-hmm. And I totally remember reading about the Clean Air Act and being told about it in school. And it was like something that had just been passed. So when they were talking about it in the movie, I knew what they were talking about. It's like, write your senator about
it. We ruined the ozone in the 80s.
Oh, absolutely.
In the 90s, we had to clean up.
Yeah, it's like the CFLs in like spray cans and other types of gases that render.
That's what they tell us.
Yes, as far as we know. As far as
side
we know.
Eye. So that's something I don't like. But now let's get to the things we really hated about this film, our tragic makers. I'm going to start with Paul first this time.
All right. My
tragic maker
was basically what Ashley was saying at the beginning of her dislikes. Mm. And that's basically the Josh character. He's not all that great. I mean, especially at the beginning, he's mean and condescending.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, so is Ty, the girl they do the makeover.
Uh-huh.
But she's also as mean and condescending as Ty is, and we've talked about that. She also came back and said, "I'm sorry," and they had that makeup thing. But the Paul Rudd character, Josh, and again, this is not against Paul Rudd or Brittany Murphy. I think they both did great in the roles that they portrayed.
Uh-huh.
But it's the character, the way, especially the main guy that Alicia's character, Cher, falls for. I think she could do so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And he can just stay off in his college world and whatever. I just thought, no, this, set your sights higher. You can do better. And again, to echo what Ashley said before, it feels forced that it's kind of awkward and unnecessarily. I don't know.
Okay. That's fair. For me, I'm also going to reference for my tragic maker something Ashley said earlier, and it's these adult themes, though for Ashley it was like the sexuality that these teens were talking about. For me, I just had seen all the drug and use and the alcohol use
at the party in the valley.
At the party in the valley. It's like, I don't know. That's just, I don't like it pretty much anywhere. I feel like it just perpetuates the idea that, oh, it's okay. It's cool. It's a cool thing to do. And
it's something that every teenager does.
Yeah. And that wasn't my experience. So I just don't know why that is such a crutch for so many movies to go to. But it seems to be the case. So
whatever.
My Tragic Maker. Ashley, let's end with you. What did you like least about this film?
Okay. So speaking of things feeling forced, it's all the things that Cher forced on other people.
Starting, her manipulation.
Oh, yeah. Her manipulation, her superficial. Yeah, just.
And they applaud her for it?
Yeah, and they applaud her for it. Just, yeah. I know that she is this high status daughter of a litigator, and he's very successful at his job. Obviously, the housemaid is afraid of him. Yeah. Like, he's doing a good job at his job. They don't want for nothing. And the fact that she's learned how to be persuasive is great for her, but she just forces so many different things on other people. She forces a makeover on Ty. That maybe that's not the best way to reintroduce someone into this class society here at her school. She basically manipulates these teachers into a relationship. I'm glad it works out for them.
Yeah.
And they really are cute together. And I like that they get married at the end. That's really sweet.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's kind of like manipulating the situation and kind of forcing her teacher's arm, being like, let me twist your arm here and be like, an evil male broke my heart. So she gets her gym grade raised. And she's like lying here, and like her father is just like, I couldn't be more proud of them if they were based on real grades. And I feel like if she's just forcing situations to happen, she's really not going to learn how to be self. Well, maybe she'll be fine in the real world when she's an adult.
I was about to say, she's learning street smarts.
Yeah, she is learning street smarts, but it's just like, it's so unrealistic. And at the same time, it's just like, you're kind of a horrible person sometimes.
Yeah, if you're just always
you're just expecting. And like, and then I even think of like how she just thinks that she can do whatever she wants, especially when it comes to like driving.
Yeah.
And how she's like going through stop signs and she's getting tickets because she doesn't even have a license and she's driving around. It's dangerous. And when she's doing her driver's test and she says, I need my most capable looking outfit. Like somehow you're going to be able to manipulate someone into giving you your driver's license.
I really liked how the driver's test person was like, no,
let's
you fail.
Let's see. And then he's like, girly, as far as you're concerned, I'm the messiah of the DMV. And I like that she was put in her place.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like after that and the like tiff with Ty after like her near-death experience and being like, geez, I made a monster. She's kind of, she really does have her like come to moment where she kind of is analyzing the situation. She's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
All these things that I've done, well, there might have been some good in some of it. My goodness, I've made all these mistakes and I need to learn from them. And then she makes the quote about how she's going to make over her soul. So it's good to see her working towards being a better person. But I feel like the core tenet of her personality and trying to basically get whatever she wants isn't going to go away.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be to a lesser extent. Will that make her a better person? But just.
Does she become a better person in the TV show?
She's not in the TV show.
Alicia Silverstone, but the character is.
I don't remember much about Cher. I remember more about the side characters because their stories were more interesting.
That was way harsh.
Absolutely.
All right. Very fair. All right. Well, now that we've entered all our trajectories into the firing computer, Travis, do you have a firing solution for us?
Firing solution complete. Salvo authority accepted. Ratings prepared to launch.
Yeah. Sometimes we do these final ratings and I'm like, I have a good sense of what people are going to say. But this is one of the times where I'm not sure where people are going to land. I am very
like
suspicious.
Like fireworks, it's all over the place.
Exactly.
Where could it go?
Exactly.
Where could it go?
So let's begin with Ashley. You had predicted classic. Where did this film end up for you?
Where would you guess?
I'm going to guess that you would say classic, but I don't know. Given you had a lot of good dislikes, so maybe it fell for you.
I mean, I'll say, yes, there are things about this movie I don't like.
It's a tragic.
No.
Whatever.
Whatever. If you can't do your job, I can't do mine. But yes, there are a lot of things that I don't like about this movie. The forcefulness of Cher, her basically forcing Ty to try to be with Elton. And that was a whole other thing we didn't talk about. Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
he was a jerk. Yeah. And I might hate that character. I might hate a lot of the things that Cher does. But all things considered, this movie is still very much a classic for me. I grew up with it. I saw it in theaters when I was 8 years old. And it is just as funny. Actually, it's more funny now because I understand
I get more of the
jokes.
Humor,
And it is still quotable. It is something that my family and I, we would watch together. Mm-hmm. It became one of those family movies, even mm-hmm. though, you know, I have a younger brother and I made him watch a lot of rom-coms. Even he can find things to appreciate about this movie and we would still quote it. It is still a classic to me, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, even though I do find more to dislike about it as I get older.
Get off my lawn, movie. Paul, you had predicted nostalgic. Where did it end up for you?
Hello. Was I the only one listening? I mean, I thought it reeked.
A tragic, really?
No, not really.
Oh, dang it.
Psych.
This...
SF.
Right. Oh my God. So, no, actually, I agree with Ashley. This is a classic for me because, and like we said before, like if you grew up during this time, not only is it all the good things we said, but it also has that fun nostalgic flashback mm-hmm. that time period. Mm-hmm. And I think this is Alicia Silverstone's best role. Like if you haven't seen any of her films, I would recommend seeing this one. Like
start here.
Well, start here and it goes downhill. Sorry.
I was gonna say Blast from the Past.
She's getting Blast from the Past.
Blast from the Past is really sweet, but I like her so much more in this movie.
Yeah.
She's getting Legally Blonde.
Wrong person, Francisco.
She's getting Mean Girls.
Wrong person.
Oh no. But I will say this is probably one of those movies that I wouldn't enjoy as much if I saw it like every year kind of a thing.
Oh,
I think
sure.
It really shines when you put a lot of distance between it. And so it's, and Ashley's shaking her head disagreeing with me for those
listening.
I watch it every year.
I revisit it just about
And it's still a classic.
Yes.
I think it would get old on me you know, but I honestly, if you've not
Paul,
seen
it's
it,
not going to get
different
old
strokes
for, you.
For different folks.
Exactly. There's different strokes for different folks, but if you've never seen it, I would recommend you give it a watch. I think you might like it.
Inconceivable.
So before I get to my final rating, let's go to our reflux capacitors. You guys make this time travel possible. You guys, and sorry about the late post that I did to our Discord, where we had one person vote. They vote nostalgic for Clueless. So let's hope I didn't vote nostalgic. Otherwise, we're ending up with a tie. Unfortunately, I voted nostalgic.
Why do you do this to us?
It's kind of tragic. Out and get her.
Get on the classic train, husband.
No, it's what I was saying is, well.
Here's what I'm going to say.
How about Ashley? Since this is her pick, she gets two votes.
Well, I will say, in the case of a tie, I think we'll just go with the panel here as the final say.
I was going to say, let me call my mom. She'll give you a classic.
Mom, Cronin Bitter, sign up for Retro Rewind Pod Locals real quick and vote on this movie.
Oh, come on. She's your mother-in-law. She gets to be the tiebreaker on movies she loves.
Wow. We'll say, according to the Retro Rewind Podcast, we rate Clueless a disputed classic film. We'd recommend anyone go see this, whether or not you've seen it before. But now it's time to get back to our own time. Good old 20XX.
Return to 20XX initiated. Comsats broadcasting on all frequencies.
20XX!
Feels good to be back. But we
feels like I haven't been back here in ages.
But we wouldn't have been able to travel back from 20XX to 1995 to begin with if it weren't for our amazing reflux capacitors, namely Deborah Powers, Geek Devotions, Drew of the Cellcast, Ashley Ruiz. Oh, you're right here!
Woo-hoo!
Kennethan. Oh, you're in chat. Fabulous Lomax. Rosie Lomax. That's our Bobo. Also in chat, maybe. D. Tungsten. Mr. Lost. Gerald Hafner. Cool Deluxe. Dustin. Redeemed Otaku. In addition to two other awesome patrons as well. Thank you all so much for keeping the gigawatts coming. And if you want to help keep us flying and get bonus content for your generosity, head over to RetroRewindPodcast.com/support to start.
Would I listen to a stream not sponsored by PaulJPowers.com? Ugh! As if!
So, Francisco.
Yes, Paul.
I was wondering, is there a way that people can support the show without, if they don't want to take a little ding from their virtual wallet?
You wish. Is that a quote from this movie?
Press F.
All right. Actually, yes, Paul, there is. You listening probably enjoyed this episode if you made it this far, or you love hate listening, maybe. I don't know. Either way, if you're not driving, tap the share icon in your podcast player for this episode and send it to a friend saying, I know you like the movie Clueless, or maybe you like the TV show Clueless, so I thought you might like this podcast on the movie, not the show. Yeah, do that.
Cool. And I'll bet they'll thank you for it.
Probably.
And speaking of thanking people, we want to give a big...
Clueless hug?
I was about to
say... Beverly Hills High hug.
Every adjective that I thought of sounded superficial because of this movie.
A superficial hug, yes.
No, but a big virtual hug to Ashley, not only for supporting us with their thoughts, but actually being... patron. What are the patrons called? The reflux capacitor?
Reflux capacitors, yes.
So she got to pick this movie, uh-huh. So thank you very much.
And if Ashley, you're a reflux capacitor, there's a listing on Locals for the movies you want to cover. We're going to try to go through all the reflux capacitors. We know there's been a backlog. We're doing alphabetical order. That's why Ashley's at the top.
Yay.
Let us know in that Locals post what movie you'd like to host on and if you would like to be a guest. And I hope you aren't dead in 2025, Ken.
Well, no one's guaranteed tomorrow.
That's true. We may not even get to 2025.
Yeah, we're stuck in 20XX. Oh, wait, that's the same thing. So, Ashley, where can people find you online? Is there anything cool you got going on, or are you outie?
I am outie. Well, I at least have been outie off of most social media. Now that Lent is over, I'm finally back, but I can mostly be found on X at AshleyRuiz1186. Come and read my, I don't know what we call them anymore. Come and read my tweets.
Your exes?
No, I'm just going to say come and see my tweets about faith and all things fandom.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Ashley. Thank you, my not clueless at all friend Paul, for another, and all you listeners, new and old, for another fun voyage.
You're welcome. You can find me, pauljpowers.com, at pauljpowers.com.
Oh, it's like it's in your name.
And you can
find me on our Discord for show announcements or just to say hi. Join us there at RetroRewindPodcast.com and check out the game I'm designing at JunkyardJuggernauts.com.
This podcast is a proud member of Culture Box, a curated collection of podcasts, videos, and articles that will provide you a balanced meal of content. You will find culture celebrated for its past and future, satirized for its extremes, explored in study, and created anew in story. Point your web browser to culturebox.media.
And as our principal just said over the announcements, we are now part of the Culture Box Media Network. Find all the shows unpacking truth through story, comedy, and geekery at culturebox.media.
Thank you, XO, and thank you all for listening. We pray you are more joyful today than when you first hit play. But like a Pokemon, we gotta catch you all for 300 on our 300th episode of the Retro Rewind Podcast.
Rewinders of the Lost Spot mission complete. Review audio ship's logs for more details.